listening to This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer here with my best friend, Kyle Dobis. This is episode 18. Today is March 31st. It is a Monday, surprisingly. We're doing this on a Monday morning. Kyle's going to go on a vacation. I got a pretty busy week coming up. We're just going to talk about basically the weekend in review, because like we just did it on Thursday.
So. Yeah, we just did one.
It's pretty quick turnaround.
But at least it gets us talking into the Final Four. We don't miss the big one here.
Yeah, the only thing we'll be missing out on really is just the games tonight. But we'll capitalize on those. The ladies playing tonight. We got two more.
I already have them on my list.
Two tickets still to be purchased tonight for the ladies to get to their Final Four. So, weekend review. I believe I went 2-for-5 in the actual top five to pick top five. I believe the two that hit were the Houston-Purdue game. Houston beat Purdue 62-60. That game was just absolute madness. I thought Purdue might have actually pulled it off and beat Houston, but
What a play at the end by Houston. That was a great inbounding play.
Yeah, just scrapes by with a good inbound play and getting up and getting the win. And then the Duke-Arizona game. Duke beating Arizona 100-93. I know this wasn't really close per se, but I feel like Arizona always had that little fight in them. You know, they always made it a game in a way to where, like, Duke was sweating in my mind. So, I mean, that I feel like that was the second of the five games. So, players of these games, I'm giving it to Miles Uzun for Houston, getting 22 points, 6 assists. And then, of course, Cooper Flagg, 30 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. Like, that's
just player of the year. Player of the year.
Like, well-deserved.
Yeah, they look damn near unbeatable right now.
But, yeah, I feel like those are my 2 out of 5. So you go ahead with yours there before I cover the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I only really hit 2 of mine. So the only 2 I hit, just like yours, I had Purdue-Houston. I didn't think it was be a very close game, and it ended up being the closest game out of all the Elite Eight and Final, or the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. So, Usan gets the player of the game with 22 points. The other one I put on here was the Ole Miss-Michigan State game. I feel like I hit on that one because it was a pretty good game all the way through. Michigan State kind of took over at the last little bit, and then Ole Miss just went cold for the last minute. Jace Richardson, the freshman, he's been a phenom for Michigan State this year. He ended up with 20 points. And, yeah, that's really the only ones that honestly, the Elite Eight games weren't the greatest games. So,
well, I mean, I've got one more that's in the actual top five. I didn't pick it, but I believe this belongs in there. The Texas Tech Arkansas game, that going 85-83 in overtime. Arkansas,
yeah, that was a good game.
16 point lead, and I thought Arkansas was actually going to pull off my picked upset of the week, but obviously they didn't, because I thought Arkansas could actually do it. Like, when they had that 60-point lead, I was like, all right, my upset pick of the week is going to hit again. Like, here we go.
And then Florida went and did it to Texas Tech.
Yeah. That's
because Texas Tech was up by 10 with 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, and that's my other.
That was one of my lists. Yeah, that one's on my list too.
Yeah, that's on the actual top five, because my three that I picked was the Tennessee-Kentucky games going 78-65. I mean, I picked Tennessee to win. So I picked correctly, but that doesn't belong in there. The Auburn-Michigan game. Michigan gave it a good run. They had, what, a 12-point lead, 13-point lead for a good, like, 2-3 minutes.
And they just went cold. No, I have them as my honorable mention. I mean, it was a good game. Michigan was up. I'm proud of how they played. But, yeah, Michigan just went cold at the end of the game. Yeah. And Auburn caught hot. They were making 3 after 3 after 3 to come back.
And then my other pick game was the Florida-Maryland game. Florida beat Maryland 87-71. Maryland gave them a good run, but they also went cold pretty – like, it was really Florida's shooting themselves in the foot in the first half. They were just turning it over. They had about, like, 13 14 turnovers in the first half alone. And that was,
it was bad.
I was just like, oh my goodness.
But hey, it's now going on 25 years since Big Ten's won a championship.
Yeah. So, but yeah, actual top five, like I said, Texas Tech, Arkansas. Player of that game, I'm giving it to Darian Williams. 20 points, 9 rebounds, and the game winner. I believe that definitely deserves player of that game. The fourth of the actual top five was the Florida-Texas Tech game. On my list, Florida beating Texas Tech 84-79. Player of the game goes to Walter Clayton, getting 30 points in this game. I mean, obviously, the dude is just something else. Like, he's from another planet, man. Like, I feel like he's going to go off in the Final Four, especially with Alex Condon hurt now. We got to see how he plays. I think he's going to be coming off the bench going forward. With his injury, he re-rolled the same ankle that he injured earlier this season. So we'll see how that goes. And then the fifth game, going to some hockey, Kyle.
I had him too.
Minnesota going into overtime, 5-4. Yeah, first rounder.
Nah, I had to choose the second rounder.
Well, I got a second rounder honorable mention. So. My honorable mention is going to Penn State, UConn. Penn State beat UConn.
Yep, that's on my five.
Last night, yeah. So, player of the game for the Massachusetts Minnesota, I'm giving it to Adar Sinios, getting 2 goals and the game winner in overtime. And then with the honorable mention between Penn State and UConn, are Sini Sergeev, the goalie
of Penn State. The goalie, what a big game.
Getting 42 saves, man. That's just standing on his head.
Yep. No, like him. Yeah, I have kind of the same, but no, actually for the basketball ones, I have a little bit different. So, yeah, I have the Texas Tech Florida game that advanced Florida to the Final Four. Texas Tech was up, I think, 10 points with like 2.5 minutes left, and then Florida went on like an 18-4 run to close that game out and win. I thought Florida was going down again, but they keep proving everybody wrong. And, yeah, Walter Clayton with 30 points again. He's been on fire leading Florida basically all the way. So however he does is how Florida's going to do. My number four I had was the Michigan State-Auburn game. Auburn kind of had a decent lead throughout the whole game, but Michigan State still stayed in and kept it close. But Auburn, just like it was against Michigan, they were just a little bit too much for us. Johnny Brome, once again, player of the game, 25 points, 14 rebounds. He's basically been like a double-double machine this tournament. So, yeah. And then my fifth, yeah, I have UConn against Penn State in hockey, where Penn State beat them 3-2 in overtime. My player of the game, though, I'm giving it to Matt DiMarosco for the game-winning goal in overtime and to send Penn State to their first Frozen Four in program history. So it was pretty cool.
I mean, it was pretty cool just to watch the game alone because both teams were going for their first.
It's the only team for Big Ten that could finally advance.
Yeah, and like that.
Everyone choked. Everybody choked in this tournament.
Yeah, both Penn State and UConn were seeking their first Frozen Four, that's just crazy. And both of them were the first time in the NCAA tournament. For each program.
Finally make it in.
So it was just history in the making in one game alone. Like, you just had somebody making history no matter what, and it was a battle of the best for that game. All right, upset.
Yeah, but no, but my honorable mention, mentioned, I had the – you're good. The Michigan-Auburn game, I said it when you went over it in your top five. So, yeah, I had Michigan-Auburn as my honorable mention. We don't really have to go crazy on it.
Well, it was just a pick top five. It wasn't the actual top five. It should have been. But.
Yeah, yeah. Mine was it was just an honorable mention for it. And then, yeah, what's your upset?
So I have two.
It was kind of hard. This was kind of hard.
This was easy. This is easy. You got
There's only one that stood out to me.
Cornell beating Michigan State.
Yeah, that was a big one.
4-3. And then Penn State beating Maine 5-1. Those are two, like, big upsets of the week in my mind. Like, because you had Maine winning it all. I had Michigan State going all the way to the finals. And then, yeah, like, it's like, look at all this red. Look at all this red on my bracket. Like,
yeah, mine. Like, yeah, just, mine's destroyed.
Just, you know,
I have
taked all this.
My, yeah, my only hope is BC just make it to the finals. That's the only thing I got on my bracket. So don't worry, we can do that to the women's basketball bracket later too, because we both got screwed on that one.
Because
that was my upset. Because that was my upset of the week.
Because that's my gut reaction now. It's just put my freaking hockey bracket through the shredder, which I just did.
Yeah, my upset of the week was LSU women's beating NC State women's 80-73.
Well, I wouldn't really put that as an upset. I was kind of expecting LSU to, like, because...
No, I was expecting them to have a good game, but...
are, like, they I could see either team winning that game. Like, I just want... I wanted NC State to win. And, yeah, LSU is a very
still, to me, that's... Yeah. To me, it's still a little bit of an upset just because NC State, the odds and favorites for that game were pretty high. So,
yeah.
I didn't see them losing that game. I thought maybe they could lose in the Final Four or Elite Eight. Or, no, yeah, the Final Four. But, yeah. On we go with that one. And then, yeah, my gut reactions are top teams. Top teams are in the Final Four.
Yep. Second time in...
It's NCAA, yeah, it's been a minute since that all four ones.
Yep. So
I mean, arguably it's the four best teams. So let's get on with it.
So yeah, last
no time no was magic this year.
We had Kansas, UNC, Memphis, and UCLA were the one seeds.
Yep.
Back in 2000.
All four ones.
So since the expansion in 1965, it's only the second time it's ever happened. So
yep,
we'll see if it can happen.
It's the best teams. We'll it's the best teams, one. So Saturday?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, it's the best teams moving on.
All right, a little bracket review. Do we even really want to do this?
Oh, man.
A little bracket review.
I guess we can go. I guess we can just go straight into the hockey one real quick since it's quick. Yeah. Let me go through my hockey one real quick.
A lot of red. A lot of red going on here. I mean, honestly, I think with the remaining Frozen Four, I believe Denver gets it done against Western Michigan. And then Boston is going to take care of things against Penn State. But Penn State is definitely a tough team. This is one thing I definitely wanted to talk about was I felt like they had the home ice advantage there. They were literally on their actual home ice. Like, being the four seed in where Penn State plays, like, I felt like that was a disadvantage, especially to Maine, being
the
actual number one seed. And the other regional where Boston College played.
Well, Boston College is the number one overall.
I know they were the number one overall, but where they were playing was in New Hampshire. New Hampshire and Pennsylvania aren't that far from each other. You could have switched both those regionals pretty easily, and Penn State wouldn't have had, you know, that more or less like home ice advantage.
They definitely had a home ice advantage. That wasn't fair to Maine.
Yeah, so in my mind, it should have been in New Hampshire because New Hampshire's closer to Maine. I want them to go to how the NCAA women's basketball does it. Is you have your top four seeds host, no matter what, like. You know, because they only, you know, rank the one seed, which was Boston College, the two seed, which was Michigan State, three seed, who was Maine, and then the
Western.
Four seed and was Western.
Western.
Michigan. Yeah. So they would host those first two rounds. And then you have your Frozen Four at your big city instead of going all these other places and like having different hosts, because that's just like preposterous that a four seed basically gets home ice advantage in their region.
Or just hear me out. Just play all at neutral state. Like, look for NHL teams that aren't playing at home those weekends, those first two games,
yeah.
And you literally just go play in an NHL stadium.
That could work too, but I think they're
that's easy.
Is they're not going to fill the stadium and not going to be able to hey, I think they're good.
I mean, yeah, you're not going to fill the stadium, but you can still get a lot of people to show up.
That's probably their fear is, like, if they do go that way, they're good. They kind of know we're not going to fill it and we're going to lose money on it. And that's probably why they don't want to go that way.
I mean, yeah, I guess it just depends on how much it costs to rent out a stadium like that and if is it worth it. Because you're definitely going to make more money playing in the actual college's stadiums. But, yeah, I mean, my entire South bracket or whatever side that is, the
– for the men's or women's?
The men's hockey. I got destroyed on that one. Yeah. I literally picked everyone. Boston's the only one that moved forward out of the entire – right side bracket for me.
I've only got 4 picks right, and then I can't get any more right. That's it. Like that, I'm done. Yeah,
I got the top side. I chose right. I chose Boston College. I chose Denver. I chose Western Michigan, but I chose Minnesota. So that Massachusetts is the only one I missed. My semifinals I had right. I had no. I lost on that one because Denver freaking beat Boston College.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm done now because I did have Western Michigan in, but I had BC going to the finals, so it's yeah. And then the bottom side, I had Maine, Penn State ended up winning. I had Quinnipiac, UConn won, so screwed on that one. Then I had Michigan State winning, Cornell won. I did have Boston winning, so at least I got Boston going up to that's about as far as I can go. Because I had Michigan State beating Boston.
We both can't go any further. So it's just going to be a second chance pick 'em from here on out. Now.
Denver, Western Michigan, Penn State, and Boston. That is a crazy final of Frozen Four.
Yeah, it's definitely unexpected. None of the actual one seeds from their regionals made it. So
who thinks winning it now?
Completely opposite. I think it's going to probably come down
between, I think, Western
Denver and Boston. I think it's going to come down between Denver and Boston. And Denver might win it a third time. They might be a 3-3.
I'm going Western. It's my only one seed left out of all these guys. So
just going to play a little favoritism with them.
Yeah, they're a good team.
They are.
They won 30 games this year.
Do we even want to talk about the men's and women's brackets? Like, it's just...
I mean, honestly, our podcast one was terrible. I actually have a really good one that I did for my work.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's because I have Houston winning. I had Houston and Auburn in the finals. I'm at 91.9% correct.
There you go.
Yeah, I did pretty good on that one.
Yeah.
My Final Four's intact. I literally did all one seeds in my Final Four.
There you go. Yeah, I mean...
Like, so I got it correct.
That was the thing. I only did one bracket only, and yeah, it's not doing so great. It's the same one that I did here with us.
My work one, I literally had
Florida right now. So
yeah, my work one, I had in my Elite Eight, I only missed one. I had St. John's in. So Texas Tech being in was the only thing I had wrong in my Elite Eight. I had Auburn, Michigan State, Florida, Texas Tech, or no, I had Florida, St. John's. So I missed the St. John ones, but then I had Duke, Alabama, Houston, Tennessee. Like, I actually did really good on this one, but yeah, for the podcast one, oh man, I guess we're starting in the men's. I can still do good because I still picked Houston, remember?
There you go.
So my Final Four, let's see, where were we last time? We were in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, we were.
And we were both looking good in the Sweet 16. Sweet 16. We both, I think, only had 2 misses. So my Elite Eight now, I completely missed the South one. I had Michigan over UNC, so that was just a complete, I didn't have either team, because I had Michigan upsetting Auburn. I had Texas Tech over Florida, so I did have both of them in the Elite Eight, but I had Texas Tech beating Florida. The East side, I did pretty good. I had Duke and Alabama, and I chose Duke. And then the Midwest, I had Houston over Tennessee, so that one helped. So my Final Four, I do have Houston and Duke, but the Southwest, it was Texas Tech and Michigan. So I'm like 2-for-4 in my Final Four.
So you just need Houston really winning because you have.
Yeah, if Houston wins, I do. If Houston wins, I do decent.
Yeah. So yeah, because almost in that same boat, but I'm split these other ways. So I have Michigan State and Florida going to the Final Four. Michigan State beating Auburn, but obviously Auburn won. And then I have Florida beating St. John's, because I had St. John's making a run, even though they just fumbled the bag there. And yeah, I'm good if, as long as Florida wins and they win it all, we're good.
I get paid.
I got Houston winning. I had Houston beating UCLA because I thought UCLA might actually make a run.
Nah, it's looking like a. Oh well. Remember when I said at the beginning of the tournament, I said the two Duke, best teams.
I'll be good there, and because I had Alabama beating Duke, because I thought Alabama actually might beat Duke because they
it was
beat
a fluke.
Carolina last season. So.
Duke's too good.
Yeah.
Remember what I said before the tournament started? I said, in my opinion, there are two best teams. Duke has surprised me right now, but. Besides Duke, I said there was two teams that I really liked. It was Auburn and Houston, and it's looking like a crash course. It could be that game.
Yeah, it could be.
I said those, in my mind, were the two best teams in college basketball. Now Duke is coming up there, so Duke scares me.
Yeah, it'll be only the second matchup between Florida and Auburn. Last matchup was in Auburn, and Florida beat Auburn.
Yep.
It was like 1-8.
No, I think the fans are they're giving a good Final Four. This is going to be a good one because – both games could honestly be a national championship type game. So you're basically getting three straight national championship style, like caliber games here coming up. Duke and Houston is a national championship caliber game. Auburn, Florida is a national championship caliber game. And then you get the winner of the two. So you're basically getting three awesome games to finish college basketball, which I can't complain about. I love my Cinderella teams, but having four one seeds that are the true one seeds in the Final Four is pretty cool because you're going to get some really good basketball here.
I'm looking at the score right now. It was 90-81. Florida was the sixth seed, or Florida was number six in the nation, and Auburn was number one in the nation. This was in Auburn. Walter Clayton, probably player of the game for that game. 19 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. No, Alex Conan, 17 points, 10 rebounds. Getting a double-double there. I believe that goes to him. Johnny Broom getting 18 points, 11 rebounds. He gets a double-double for Auburn in that game. So, yeah, it's going to be a game to watch for sure coming up here on Saturday.
Man, yeah, and I'm reviewing some of my other brackets. I did one for mascots. Who's the best mascot would win in a fight? Not looking too hot on that one. Yeah, not looking too hot on that one. My Elite Eight was Iowa State versus UC San Diego. I did have Florida over Missouri, so I do have one team in the Final Four out of all of this.
Nice.
UCLA and Clemson was one. So my Final Four was UCLA, Alabama, Iowa State, and Florida with Iowa State. How do you beat a Cyclone? Like, I don't think you can beat up a Cyclone, so
no,
that's kind of unfair. It's kind of unfair.
It's just like get some fans out and just...
Yeah, yeah, of the UC
fans.
San Diego fans.
All right.
My coin flip one did terrible. Hey, whoa, we got to go to the women's. What are we talking about?
We've already talked about the women's.
We didn't talk about any of the women's. What are you talking about? Are you upset about your picks?
Yes, I don't want to. Gosh, I was so distraught after that game, man.
Yeah, it's not looking good, I think, for either one of our brackets. Although I do have,
I had NC State.
I have one more possible point.
I have two. I have to have South Cal, USC beat UConn, and I need TCU to beat Texas. And I can.
So
I
yeah, my only one I have
three,
left.
I can
yeah.
have at least three out of the Final Four. Three teams out of the Final Four, and then I need
I'll
TCU
have...
to win against South Carolina. You know, I need TCU to win two more games, and I'll be done. Like, that's it.
So yeah, since Notre Dame choked, I can only the only thing I can get is two. I can't get any into the national championship game. So, yeah, I picked UConn over USC. So if UConn makes it in, I'll have UConn in there. But I had NC State over making it in there. Yeah, so. And now I had NC State over UCLA.
Yeah.
Yep. So UCLA's in. And then, yeah, I had UConn against NC State. And then I have South Carolina over Notre Dame. But Notre Dame's not in it since they got upset by TCU. So.
Yeah. USC played Duke. South Carolina played Duke.
I'm saying I got South Carolina's, and I said I also had Notre Dame in my Final Four, but Notre Dame lost to TCU back in the Sweet 16.
Gotcha. I'm sorry.
So now it's Texas TCU instead of Notre Dame. So can't do anything in that bracket. So the only ones I had was South Carolina and UConn in my Final Four, and I had both teams losing in the Final Four because my championship was NC State and Notre Dame. So basically, UConn wins, then that's the max points I can get left.
Need the opposite of me then.
Yeah, I just need a. It doesn't really matter with the Texas TCU as long as UConn wins, but I don't think UConn's losing. That's almost impossible.
No.
Right. They're not losing with USC's best player out.
We'll see. That's why they play a game, right?
Yeah. Odds are not in their favor. It's like minus 1800.
All right. Upcoming week, top five games to watch. I believe we both agree on these first two. First three. Because obviously we don't know who's going to be in it, making the third game.
Yep.
So the first two.
So Auburn, Florida.
You got Auburn,
Duke and Houston.
Florida, Duke and Houston. And then the third.
The third one's the championship game.
The NCAA championship. It doesn't matter who wins. Who gets in? It's the third game.
All three are going to be good games. Yep.
All three are going to be good games. And then
I'll keep mine simple for you. So for my next two are literally the women's, the UConn-USC. But I kind of wanted to take the UConn-USC game out. I wanted to put like Penn State versus who are they playing? Boston?
Yeah.
I kind of felt like Penn State-Boston would be a good game, but I'll give it to the women's. I'll go UConn, USC, and then T.
Because they're taking a week off.
I know.
So
yeah, I know. So it's like I wanted to put them, but it doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work. So I just went straight to the women's. UConn, USC, and then TCU, Texas.
Yeah, I went to hockey actually. I've got the Canes Caps game coming up on the 2nd.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
Be a very good game. And then Rangers Devils coming up on the 5th.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe those games will be good top five games to watch. All right, you ready for my upset?
What's your gut predictions first? What's your picks?
So my picks are Florida over Auburn. Got to make some more money.
Okay.
Duke over Houston. And then I got
Florida
over Duke.
Man, we're just straight opposite.
Yep. So I'm just going straight opposite of what you picked because I saw what you picked.
Yep.
And I've got Florida over Duke. And then I've got the Canes beating the Caps, and then the Devils over the Rangers.
All right, yeah, I'm complete opposite. It's like I said at the beginning of the bracket season when they first started, I said the two best teams are Auburn and Houston. So I'm sticking with it. I got Auburn, I got Houston. And then my championship game, I'm sticking with Houston. Houston, like I said, is their defense and three-point shooting capability. So I'm taking Houston to win it all. So Houston is my champion this year. For the UConn-USC game, I got UConn. And then basically it goes right into my upset of the week. My TCU versus Texas, I'm taking TCU to upset Texas. And that is also my upset of the week.
Well, I wouldn't say that's an upset. I'm expecting
TCU. Oh, it's very much an upset because that's a 3 seed versus a 1 seed. The odds are like plus 500 right now. That's upset.
Well,
I don't go by what the basketball says. I go by gambling odds. When you're at plus 500 and above, that is a straight upset. That is big time odds.
Well, my upset prediction of the week, Kyle, I think you're going to like this one. I think the Red Wings keep their winning streak rolling. And they beat the Canes.
Their
one game winning streak, and they're gonna keep it rolling, and they're gonna beat the Canes at home.
Hey,
on the 4th.
Don't worry, I'll be at that game. I'll let you know how it goes.
It should be a very good game.
Yeah, I'll be there.
It goes really well for you.
Yep, because we're going up fishing, and then Friday's the day after fishing, so we'll be down there. We're like, well, let's just go to Detroit and watch the game. Like, let's see, who are they playing? It's like, oh, of course, they're playing the freaking Hurricanes.
Okay, of course, they're playing the Canes.
Yeah, so I get to go back and watch the Hurricanes play Detroit again. But yeah, here we go. Here's some for some final week of basketball. Final, where it's upon us here.
It is upon us.
Right. And then we get to get back into some fantasy focus for the next week.
Yeah. All right. Oh, time to gamble some money away.
All right. Yeah.
Here we go.
How old must you be, Alex?
You must be 21 or older to gamble. Problems with gambling, please call the gambling helpline at 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're not professionals. Don't take our advice.
Please don't take our advice. But I went 3-0 last week with my 3-0
parlay. Oh, I went 1-2.
So I'm going to stick with baseball, Kyle, because I did all baseball money lines, and I'm just going to stick with it this week. So here we go.
Gambling's a crazy sport because, like, I did shit basically all week. I also made like 500 different bets, and then I finally hit one of them, and it made my money back. So it's like you could literally just be like 0 for like 30, then hit one, and then you made your money back.
It's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, just don't go crazy and bet like $5,000 on one. Yeah, it's like just do like $5 30 times, and then you can win one. So yeah, I only went 1-2, but what are your picks?
So my upcoming picks, I've got the Rays money line over the Pirates that's sitting at 185 locked in. Tigers money line over the Mariners at plus 100 locking that in. And then Dodgers money line over the Braves locking in at negative 218. Making a total of plus 349, $10 pays 44.
Yep, that's pretty good. I kind of got some pretty good odds on mine so far. I went 1-2 last week. I think the only one I hit was the Alabama minus 5.5 against Purdue or BYU. Yep. And then my honorable mention I did hit. I had Purdue, like, I think it was like plus 7.5 against Houston. So I hit my honorable mention and one of my legs, but the other two I missed. This week, I'm going with Auburn moneyline, straight up easy. Auburn moneyline, Houston moneyline, TCU plus 7.5 in their game against Texas tonight. Those three get you a plus 1,034. So 10 bucks will get you about $130, $140.
Yeah, I just round
plus 1,000 is awesome.
Like, I don't worry about the change. I just round up to the next dollar every time.
It's about 10 bucks will get you about 140. So plus 1,000 on just three games. And they're not like out like crazy games. I like it. My honorable mention, I do have USC at plus 13.5. That's a lot of points, even though their best player's out for this game against UConn. I do like plus 13.5 in basically a Final Four game, so, or a Elite Eight game. So, yeah, that was my honorable mention, the 13.5 point spread, taking it for USC to cover spread.
Nice. Well, my honorable mention, I'm turning to hockey. There is a bet now for Ovi to break Gretzky's goal. You click yes. Right now, that is sitting at negative 165.
Really? Negative? I'm going to take the net. How many games are left? There's only like 10 games left, isn't there?
Yeah. And he's got to get 5 more goals to break the record.
Yeah, so he's got to average. He's got to average a goal every other game. That's kind of hard to do.
It is very hard to do.
And you're coming down to the stretch where everyone's going to be playing harder when they play these other teams. So it's not like they're just given.
But I think he's gonna do it. I believe
there's a chance.
I believe in the guy. I like, cause he's been on this track for a while. So the Great Eight Chase.
So that's
no is sitting at plus 135.
See, I kind of like the plus odds better. I feel like it's a toss up. I feel like it's a coin toss on this. So it's like I'd rather just take the plus side.
Yeah.
Or tie.
Well, so there's three or four different. So, or you can bet on when he breaks the record. So if he breaks the record on the next game, which is Chicago Blackhawks, that's sitting at plus 1600. And then the Hurricanes is
that's
plus
it. Oh my god, I am surprised they only gave it plus 1600 for him to score 5 goals in one game. They gave him plus 1600.
Yeah,
that's terrible odds. That should be like plus 32,000 or something. Like, holy hell, how is that not like plus 32,000? 5 goals in one game.
Yeah, and then the That's Hurricanes, insane. If he does it against the Hurricanes, like, you know, saying that he scores.
Not doing it against them.
And then Hurricanes is plus 600. Then the next game is the Penguins, plus 400. Islanders is plus 230. And then Against the Blue Jackets, it's plus 145.
See, that's why my thing is no. Those four teams, five teams, are good teams. Like, it's not like he's playing. It's not like he's playing the Sharks and the Ducks nonstop. Like, you're playing all playoff teams right now. So
everybody's gonna be giving them his best. Like, yeah, they're good. They're good.
Yeah, they don't want to be the team that gives up the goal against them. So, I don't know. I like I said, I think it's a coin toss. So I'm just gonna take the plus money on a coin toss at that point. Yeah. Like, I could see him breaking it, sure, but I could also see him not breaking it. So I might as well just take the plus money on it.
All right. So the others, you got. Which period will he score?
Jesus Christ, that is just a...
the goal.
You're like, going down a gambling rabbit hole where you're not going to win your bets.
Yeah, if he's... Like, what period will he score this, like, record-breaking goal?
Addicts, I got it.
the third period
what
is,
period?
Third period is plus 115. Second period is plus 235. First period is plus 270. And then overtime is plus 2,500.
That's pretty cool. He's not doing it every because he doesn't play in overtime.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
So it's like why would you put money on him doing it overtime? He's not one of the three skaters.
Here, let me just give you some money.
Like literally, Ovechkin plays on the power play. That's it. This whole season, pretty much, he just gets power play goals. And then whenever they're in the zone. So if I had to guess, I'd probably say the third period just because he might get an empty netter.
All right, and then you've got career season goal to be an empty net goal.
There you go, see?
A no is negative 600, and then a yes is plus 425.
That's not bad. Plus 425 is pretty good for an empty netter, and that's odds are that it could be how he gets it.
And then...
I mean, that one's more realistic than an overtime goal. Like, he isn't even freaking playing overtime.
And then the strength of the opposite team... during this career goal. Even strength is negative 210. Power play is plus 170. Shorthanded, yep. Plus 10,000.
Yeah. I don't think he's played on the shorthanded once all season, so how the hell is he going to do that? Let alone go down and score. That's not happening. He's going to score it on the power play.
Let me take that shorthanded.
It's either he's going to score on the power play or he's going to score with, like, their goalie pulled and they're playing 6-on-5. Like, that's how he's going to get his goal. So, that's why I'm going to pull third period that he does. If he does it, it's going to be in the third period, and it's either going to be on the power play or a 6-on-5. So, that one's kind of hard to hit, but I definitely like the third period one. I feel like he could do it then.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I believe that. That probably could go into the auto prevention rather than to break, but
yeah.
At the end of the day,
break it in the third period.
Yes, he's still going to break it. So.
Yes, and then the combo of he's doing it in the third period, but
negative 165. So yeah.
Yep. Give you a little plus odds.
So my same game.
Same game.
Yeah, going into that now, getting away from the little deep. Deep rabbit
Don't
hole
get dive. Get away from the rabbit. Yeah, dig out of the rabbit hole. Get out of the rabbit hole here.
I'm going with the Wild at Devils game that's going on tonight. Matthew Boldy to get three or more shots on goal, locked in at negative 135. Jesper Bratt to get three or more shots on goal, locked in at plus 125. And then Nico Heeshire to get one or more points. Locked in.
He's a beast. He's a beast for New Jersey.
Oh yeah, and that makes it a total of plus 485. $10 pays out 58.
Dang! See, look, you went conservative the three leg in the same game. I'm
smarter about this.
That's usually the It's usually the opposite. Usually you're the one with the plus 1,000, plus 800. It's usually me with like plus 300 on mine, and I'm just like mine's like plus 600 for this one. So my same game, I did the Boston-Baltimore game. I chose Boston plus 1.5 run line. So don't lose by more than 2 runs. I think they can win this game. I'm taking under of 9.5 runs scored. And then because he has started 0-for-16 with 12 strikeouts, I am taking Devers to get 2 total bases, just 2. So I want to see a home run, but I think he's going to get at least get a double or maybe a couple singles. I think he's going to come off his schneid. He's their best player. So Devers going to get me 2 plus bases. keeps the under 9.5, and Boston pulls out. I think Boston's going to win, but I wanted to be safe and take the plus 1.5 instead. But those three give me a plus 600. So I'll take plus. I'll take 10 bucks to win 60 bucks.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Top three player props of the week. Guess what? Which one mine is? Back into the rabbit hole we go. Ovi, anytime.
Back to Ovin. Yeah, gets the over. Gets an overtime goal, not just an anytime goal. Scores overtime goal.
Anytime goal. Whenever you see Ovi anytime goal, just hit it. Just whatever game he's playing, just take it. Just whatever it's sitting at.
Yep.
If he's sitting there for anytime goal plus, 160 or -160, whatever it is, I don't care what the odds is, just take it.
Yeah, I like it.
Just put $5 just for funsies.
That's fair. That's fair.
My other two, I've got Cooper Flagg. He's sitting at plus 20 points right now for his odds. I like that, especially going up against Houston. And then Walter Clayton, plus 22 points. I do like that against Auburn. I don't care win, lose, tie. Like, he's going to go off, and he's going to drain threes. Like, that, the kid's just freaking...
He's gonna get his.
Yeah. So.
So my three player props. I already told you one. I think Devers. Honestly, I could say hits a home run, but I'm just gonna go two total bases because he's 0-for-16. He's gonna come out of it. He's too good of a hitter. So Devers two total bases or more. I got Johnny Brome for Auburn to get a double-double. And if you want to put numbers to it, I'm going to say like a 15-plus point game, 10-plus rebound game.
Yeah.
That'll get you at least in the minus like 150, somewhere in there if you wanted to combo that. But yeah, I feel like he's a lock to at least get you a double-double, at least a 15-10 type game. My last one, I've got first baseman for the Braves, Matt Olson. He has not hit a home run yet. And I'm putting one on him to hit a home run. Going down the home run rabbit hole, which is what's killed me this weekend. I've been trying to have some fun with some of these no sweat bets on home runs, and I've been getting crushed because I've been trying to go all in on it. Where I'll pick like four players to get a home run, and I always hit like two of them, but then I miss the other two. But it's like if you pick four guys to hit a home run, your odds are like plus like 20,000. So it's kind of crazy to put like a no sweat $5 bet on it. Just put $5, no sweat. If you hit it, you make like $2,000 on it. If you don't, just take the $5 no sweat bet and just put it on something easy to make your money back. So that's what I've been kind of doing this weekend.
Yeah, I like that. All right, don't bet on it. Guess who's back?
I got one.
Back again.
I got one.
Guess who's back, back, NBA, A, don't bet on it.
Don't bet on it.
Don't bet on it. It's...
Like, I don't have the knowledge to bet on NBA, so...
Like, I have the knowledge to bet on it, but I went into a deep dive today to try and see if I could just, sneak something in. Because, like, I had baseball, I had hockey. I was like, there's some NBA going on. Let me see if I can do some NBA. No. No. Like,
No. Don't do it.
Just don't do it. The odds are just fucking just...
So, yeah. My don't bet on it... is over unders in college basketball right now. Don't do it. It's literally what has killed me this weekend. I was kind of on a roll with all my picks on college basketball, like whether it was like player props, spreads, money lines, killing it. I was killing it. And every time I parlayed it with an over under, and I even took like reduced odds over unders, I still missed on every over under I took this weekend.
Jeez.
You got like an Auburn... Yeah, you got like an Auburn-Michigan State game. You think it's going to be a decent scoring game, and then it only put up like 130 total points. So it's like it's kind of hard. Like the Houston, especially if you're trying to bet on Houston, do not take the over-under. That team could score 90 points in one game and then also score and win with a 40-point game. Like I just don't – over-unders are really hard right now in college basketball because we have too many – the SEC is an all-out scoring game. So I feel like the Auburn-Florida game, you could probably take the over if you reduce the odds a little bit and feel comfortable. Houston-Duke, don't freaking touch it. I have no idea how that game's going to go.
Oh, yeah, because they've never matched up against each other. They're pretty strong for both their conferences.
Yeah, and Houston's known for defense.
Like, in my mind, Houston comes out of a stronger conference than
Duke's
conference just for this season. And then, yeah, you've got Auburn and Florida matching up for the second time this season, and
it's, they're just going to be putting up points. Yeah, it's going to be like an 84-82 game.
Yeah, they're going to be putting up points, and it's going to be defensive optional.
But they're, but the spread in that game, or the over-under in that game, is probably going to be like 163 points. So it's like, well, is it even worth even touching that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see.
Yeah, don't touch the over-unders. Don't touch the over-unders.
Okay, I will not. Don't worry about me over here. Because I can't.
Yeah. You just go worry about Ovi's goal scores. Go down that rabbit hole instead.
All right. Homeward bound we go. All right, I've got a little bit of tidbit here.
Yeah, a little bit. We got a little baseball, too.
For the NFL, Kyle, the Packers are creating the petition to ban the tush push. The Packers, of all teams, are the first team to create this petition to ban the tush push.
I'm okay with it. Look, I'm okay with it. That used to be banned. Like, not just the tush push in general, but the way the play is form. You used to not be able to do that.
Yeah.
Be able to push a player from the back. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't like ban the tush push. I would ban pushing people from the back.
It's funny that it's the Packers out of all the teams. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah. They played them like
some of the Giants or the Cowboys. It's
no, just randomly the Packers.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily ban the tush push. I would just ban like pushing players from the back to carry their momentum.
Yeah.
You can still do your tush push, but you can't push the quarterback at this point. You can just do a quarterback sneak.
No. I mean, like, yeah, because that I feel like the rule should be, yeah, like, it should be at least handed off before you can push somebody
yep.
into the touchdown. Like,
yep.
Like, that's what I wanted to get at, too, is it's like...
Yep, no pushing the quarterback. But if you're behind the line of scrimmage, you can't push players forward.
Yeah. Like the only person you can push forward is like if you do hand it off to the running back or you do hand it off to the wide receiver that's making a, you know, what's
yep.
it called?
Quarterbacks, if you're under centered, yeah, because then they'll just put like they'll just put like a tight end. Yeah, because then they'll just put like a tight end under center to do
ball,
it. Basically, whoever is snap
has to change hands from
exchange hands
or
yes.
whoever is under center.
Yep, the ball has to change hands and then you can push.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm fine with it. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I always thought it was a little cheat, like, because it's not fair to the defense, because the defense can't line up like that and push each other. They don't know the snap count, so it's like, yeah, the offense definitely gets an advantage where they can just literally snap the ball and start pushing everybody.
Yeah, and literally the only thing to solve the problem is just try to jump, like the commander
yeah.
said. It's like just jump.
It is an unfair play. It is an unfair play to do it like that. So yeah, I'm for like just yeah. The ball's got to exchange hands before you can push someone forward. You can't just push someone forward right off the bat.
All right. Wolverines, end of a great season, guys.
Great season. Great season.
Good old, you know.
In the golf club. There it is. Full on cheer.
Great
season. No, I mean, to go from 8-24 to what do we win? Like 28 games this year? 28-10? 29-10, awesome turnaround. I think we'll be pretty good next year. I think we're really just losing like the two big guys. We're gonna lose Danny Wolf. He's gonna go pro. Vlad's gonna leave. He's run out of time. Namari Burnett could stay, but I don't know if he will or not. They already said like Will Cheddar's coming back, Trey Donaldson's coming back, Rudy Gale's coming back. So you got
Rudy
three
Gale
right now coming back.
Be very big. He,
and so with Will Cheddar. Will Cheddar coming back is awesome, too.
Really
I love Will Cheddar.
Yeah.
So you're getting three good returners back, productive returners back, and then you're getting Trey McKinney, the five-star point guard, coming in also. So, and then you get LJ Kaysen on top of that back. So, I mean, they got it. They really just need to hit the transfer portal for, like, another power forward and another center.
Yeah.
Which he'll do. I think he'll get somebody. So, but, yeah, it was a great season. Loved it.
I feel like he does really well recruiting wise, and he's got a lot of.
Oh, he does. He's gonna get some. He's gonna get some kids. He's gonna get some recruit. I think what he needs to do is get some shooting, get somebody from the transfer portal that can straight out ball and shoot.
I hear that. All right, baseball. Wolfpack, they're kind of looking middle of the road right now in the ACC. Kyle, you've seen any games?
Yeah, they're kind of up and down. Not yet, but they've been up and down.
And the Deacs are not faring well right now. They're going through their toughest part of their ACC schedule, and they're taking some punches to the chin right now.
It's a little toll on them right now.
So, not too great. Yeah. Going into some Tigers, not starting the season so great. We're winless.
I mean, you had to play the Dodgers.
Need to get some wins here against the Mariners, and then.
And we got Yankees. How about the Yankees?
Yankees are off to.
They give them some new bats. They give them some new bats, and then they just start hitting home runs.
I know.
Which is played out of proportion.
Some torpedo bats.
That whole thing is played out of proportion. It's kind of crazy how people just run with that. One, they're legal bats. Two, they're acting like everyone on the dang team is using them. Yeah, they're legal. Any team can use them if they want to. And there's other players that use them on other teams, and they're not doing good. But what's crazy is only two people on the Yankees use them, and it accounted for like three of the total home runs they've hit so far. Jazz Chisholm and Anthony Volpe are the only two that really use that bat. Aaron Judge has four home runs.
Aaron
Judge has four home runs.
Has a home run.
And he doesn't use it.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't use it.
Yeah, I feel like...
He's got four home...
I feel like with this torpedo bat, I feel like a lot more people will be kind of getting on board now.
Yeah, they'll use it.
Like, become a little bit more mainstream thanks to the Yankees,
again, it's blown out of proportion because you ready for this? You ready for this one too? Like I said, the two players that mainly use it is Jazz Chisholm and Anthony Volpe. Guess who's three? So they both combined for four total home runs out of the weekend. So guess how many home runs would have not been a home run in any other ballpark, but they're playing in Yankee Stadium? Three of them. Three out of the four home runs were not a home run in any other stadium. So it's not like the bat is making them hit the ball 500 feet. They literally barely cleared the right field fence. So it's like if they were playing in any other stadium, they have one total home run with those new bats. One. Not like 17,000 home runs like everyone's thinking they're hitting. They're playing in Yankee Stadium. And the two people that used that bat, three of their four home runs came because it was in Yankee Stadium. So it's not like it's giving them more power. It's just they got lucky and that they're using that bat.
Well, I think it's not really they got lucky. It's they had that, 20 to, what was it, 5?
It was 20 to 5 game.
25 game against the
Brewers. But those home runs were not home runs.
That's when it, just took everybody by storm.
Yeah, they're like, oh, wait a minute, everyone's using this bat. And I was like, no, not everyone's using that bat. Aaron Judge had three freaking home runs in that game. He had a grand slam.
That's the thing. Because whenever they talk about it, I only see, Volpe or what was the other guy's name?
Jazz Chisholm. And both just, and all their home runs were not home runs.
You only see the picture of them two holding the bat. You don't see any other.
Cody Bellinger doesn't use it. Cody Bellinger doesn't use it. Austin Wells doesn't use it.
The whole Yankee lineup, just.
It's just the two players. It's just the two players. Yeah, it's literally just the two players. And their three of their four home runs were not a home run in any other stadium in baseball. So it's like, no, the bat did not help them hit their home runs. The stadium helped them hit the home runs.
Yeah. And
because the other guys that hit the home runs was Cody Bellinger, Paul Goldschmidt, Aaron Judge, Austin Wells. All of them don't use that bat. And they all hit home runs. So.
And honestly, I think the design of the bat's pretty futuristic.
It's cool.
It's cool. To see.
It's within the rules too.
You got a lot of the wood more where the barrel is
in the center of the bat. They concentrate it.
And I would feel like with it being a little bit thinner, up at the top, it makes it to where you can swing it a little bit quicker, and you can get onto
You get more hard hits. You get harder hits in the middle of the bat. Which is fine. You're within the rules of what it says. You just can't be past the 2.6 inches diameter around the bat, at the biggest part of the bat. And they're not. And they're not the only ones that use it. There's a catcher for the Twins uses it. There's a player for the Mariners uses it. It's been around. Volpe used it last year.
Yeah. I would believe
it. It's like you said.
This isn't the first
time. It's like you said. It was like you said, it was just because the Yankees scored 20 runs and hit 9 home runs in one game, which broke their record. That's kind of crazy to break a single-game record for the Yankees when they've been around for 300 years.
Yeah.
Hit 9 home runs in one game. But, that's the only reason why it was blown out of proportion. Out of those 9 home runs, 2 of them were from the bat, or 3 of them were from the bat, and 2 of them would not have been a home run in any other stadium. So,
we'll just have
to, kind of blown out of proportion, but
yeah, we'll just have to
Yankees see. Off like, to a hot start.
I think a lot of, like, you know, especially like I said, with it taking headlines and all that, I feel like a lot more players will probably try to get on board with this and try out the torpedo bat and see if it works for them or doesn't work for them within the next 2 to 3 months, maybe.
Yeah.
Like going.
So we got a so basically. Game. So basically, Aaron Judge is winning the MVP this year since Buster Olney came out with a stat that he's on pace now for 302 home runs to begin the season.
But also,
he has a chance. He does have, if he stays healthy, he has a chance to break Bonds' record this year. He's got to stay healthy, but I think he could.
The one thing that I do want to see, Kyle, is like kind of do like an experiment, right? When we have our home run derby coming up at the All-Star break, just have the home run derby like it normally is.
With that
whoever,
bat.
Whoever wins it, they have to hit with the torpedo bat. Like if they aren't already using the torpedo bat, then
or take half the players.
Or just, you know, hit with the other bat just to prove, like, you know, theories and all this. Like, just like take the home run winner. Like, he gets to lift the trophy, do his whole thing. Then he has to go back and hit with the other bat. Like, if he was hitting with the normal bat, then he has to hit with torpedo bat. Or if he was hitting with the torpedo bat, he has to go back and hit with the normal bat. Like, just to prove everybody wrong or right or whatever.
I think half your contestants.
That would be fun.
So take half your contestants out of the eight, have four that use the torpedo bat, four that don't, and let's see who wins.
Well, I feel like that would make things unfair, but if...
I'm not saying they get to use it. I'm saying
who normally uses
that use the bat. Sure. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Choose four guys that actually use that bat that are home run hitters and want to be in it. Let them be in it, and then four just normal guys that use their normal bat.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, I'd be.
Yeah, we'll see who wins.
We'll see who wins. All right.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Hockey.
Red Wings got to continue their winning streak here.
They got to continue their one-game winning streak. Don't count them
out.
Hey,
look,
yet.
They're
do not
they're,
count them out.
No, you can't. There's what, 10 games left, I think, or 9 games left? Something like that.
Yep.
So the Red Wings are one game back of the wild card, like one game played back.
Yep.
And they're only 3 points out. So, I mean, they win their next game. They're now tied with the games played with the second wild card, and they're 1 point back. So they're not out of it. It's like I said the last few weeks. Like, they Red Wings just have to go on a run if they want to make the playoffs. They got to go on a run at some point. If they can go out and win 6 straight games, they're going to be in. If they don't, they're not going to be in. It's basically how their season's at right now.
Yeah, and I feel like they can do it because you're looking at a Tigers fan over here who is sitting at 0.2%.
I mean, it does get a little.
And then they get to the playoffs, and you're just like, whoa.
It gets a little easier for them. Not really, but a little bit compared to what they had to go through right after the All-Star break. So, I mean, not really, honestly. It's not really looking. It's going to be hard. They got the Blues at the Blues. Then they play Carolina at home, Florida at home, go to Montreal, go to Florida, go to Tampa Bay, play Dallas, play New Jersey, play Toronto. So Montreal Canadiens is the only team they play that's not a playoff team right now. Not only just a playoff team, a top three playoff team in their division. But they do get one. Oh, no, they're screwed. They have 3 home games left. That's it.
Oh, boy. Road Warriors.
They have one. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They have 3 home games and 6 road games.
Gotta be some road Warriors.
If they're gonna start the streak, it's right now. Right now, they gotta start the streak right now because they play at St. Louis.
A 1-game win streak. It's a 1-game win streak, Kyle.
Yes.
Yeah, keep it going.
But that's what I'm saying. Carry it on because you play at St. Louis and then you get 2 straight home games and then you go to Montreal. So you could win those 4 games and get on a 5-game winning streak. Then you just need to split one of the Florida games, win at home against the Stars, and split one of the last 2. I think that's your recipe for making the playoffs. They need to win their next 4.
I like that.
Win their next 4, split with Florida, win at home against Dallas, split between New Jersey and Toronto, and I think they're in.
I like that.
Hard to do, but we'll see.
Easier said than done, as they say.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule.
All right, Pistons, they're moving up in the standings, Kyle. They're in fifth place now at 42-33. Got to talk a little bit about last night's
brawl. They're going to make it.
Some brawling in basketball, Kyle. Surprise, surprise. You surprised about that? Yeah. They played the Timberwolves, and with, I think it was 8 minutes or so left in the fourth quarter, they just decided to kind of go at each other. What happened was there was a block, like Pistons player blocked the Timberwolves player, and then Timberwolves player comes up and like starts like going like this, and the Pistons player like, I'm the one that blocked you. Why are you going like he's like, he was like kind of like, I'm the one that blocked you. Why are you coming? And then next thing you know, Timberwolves guy comes pushing Pistons player. Player pushes him back. Everybody's getting involved. Seven people
going crazy.
Ejected. Seven people total ejected.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're bringing. It's like they're bringing back the bad boys.
And two of them were coaches for the Pistons.
they're bringing the nasty boys back. They're bringing the nasty boys back.
Got to. I mean, got
the brawl in the palace. It's time to do the brawl in the palace part two.
And then Wrexham looking to secure the second spot on the table. They are in second place. They get another win. They're sitting at 23-8-8 with 77 points. I believe that they can make their way into the promotion. I believe it. I want to see it.
It'd be good for them. Be good for them.
It'd be very good for them. All right, and with that, that wraps up this episode of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Next week, Masters Week, Kyle.
Masters, we're gonna do a little master section. We got gambling only. Section. We'll do all gambling, and then a master section, all on the Masters.
Everything on the Masters.
That's a master special. It's a master special.
We're gonna put our money on this little kid doing the chip and putt and drive chip and putt. The par three. We're gonna put some money on this chick playing the par three competition.
Yeah. All right. I like it.
Yeah. All right. So tune in. See if we made money with that. And, I'm Alex Bauer.
And I'm Kyle Dobus.
Y'all have a good rest of your day. Make sure you like, subscribe, tune in on podcasting, wherever you get it, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and we are on YouTube as well. So make sure you tune in on all three of those.
Have yourself a good April Fool's Day.
Have a good April Fool.
That was good timing. Good timing.
Would this be a good time for you next week as well, or no?
I can do any Mondays if Mondays work for you.
This will probably be the best.